Hey, good morning, family. It's good to be with you. Thanks for joining us as we get into God's Word together. Happy Resurrection Sunday. This is a big day on the church calendar, as many of you know. We're excited to get into it with you. We'll be in Matthew chapter 28 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 10. This belief in the resurrection really separates Christianity from every other religion. Because what we're claiming is that Jesus Christ was a real man. He's the God-man. He lived among us. He died on the cross for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again the third day. And this really separates Christianity from every other religion. Many religions offer a path to God. Maybe it's the fivefold path. Maybe it's, hey, you know, the earth is God, take care of the earth, or the inner consciousness. There are certain things that different belief systems offer, but Christianity is unique in that Jesus himself claims to be the way to God. He's not giving us just a path or a good way to live life. He's saying the whole point of Christianity is me. It's understanding that I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. And what Jesus did on Resurrection Sunday is he proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that his claims were true, that he himself is the Son of God. And so that's what we're celebrating today. Let's look in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together today. Lord, we can come around your word. And thank you that your word is alive, God, and that it speaks to us right where we're at. Lord, we're reminded of your great sacrifice for us. Your resurrection, God, you backing your claims up and saying, you know what, and you prophesied this, Lord. You said that you would rise again from the dead. This was not an accident. Very purposeful. It proves that we've been forgiven of all our sins, that the work that you accomplished on the cross was sufficient, that the grave could not hold you, that you rose again from the dead, that you're going to come back one day for us. And so I pray, God, that you would really impress these truths on our heart this morning, that you would give us hope in you. Have your way in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage in Matthew begins and starts out by saying that these ladies go to the tomb where Jesus was buried. Remember that Jesus had been crucified on Friday, or what we know as Good Friday. And so we've got to ask ourselves, like, why did these ladies go to the tomb? Right? Mark 16, verse 1 tells us that they went to anoint the body of Jesus. Okay? Luke 23, verse 56 says that on the day that Jesus died, the woman went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Okay, so they came home early Sunday morning. So they go to the tomb early Sunday morning to anoint the body of Jesus. They've prepared these spices and they're going to anoint Jesus. And this would help with the smell that came from a decomposing body. They didn't embalm their dead, but they anointed them. They fully expected Jesus to be in the tomb. And so you can imagine their shock and confusion when they find out that Jesus is not in the tomb. Where is he? Right? And as we look at the death and resurrection of Jesus, we're able to make a little bit more sense of our world and of our individual lives as well. Okay? Because the fact is, okay, this happened a long time ago, right? More than 2,000 years ago. How does what happened at the cross and the tomb affect our day-to-day lives? What does this mean for us as people? Why was Good Friday necessary? And why is the resurrection so important? How do these events help shape the way we make sense of the world? Because if we've seen one thing this last year, and even in the last couple weeks, it's this. We are living in a broken world. I don't know if you've noticed this, but all is not okay in the world. We're living in a world that's been marred by the fall. The pandemic that we've been in serves as a constant reminder of our frailty and that we are not as in control of our lives as we would like to think. We see all the mass shootings that we've been experiencing in just the past couple weeks alone. We look at the people who've been targeted and harmed because of their race. What does this do to us? How does this shape our view of life? The world is not a safe place like we once thought it was. The threat of something going terribly wrong has now become more of a reality than it ever has before. And it just goes to show we're living in a broken world. This is not the world that God intended for us. But this is a world that is broken because of sin. Because sin has entered into the world. And we all are broken as individuals as well, right? It's not just those people out there that are the problem. It's very easy for us to look at the news and look at the headlines and say, how could someone do something so despicable? And to make ourselves feel better and say, I would never do something like that. And to take pride in the fact that we're better than these other people. We don't say we're better than other people. We just act that way. We might just have those thoughts in our heads. God, thank you that I'm not like those people. But the Bible is very clear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every single person is in the same boat. Yes, not every single person sins like the rest of humanity. Some people have more extreme cases of sin. But the Bible is clear. We are all in the same boat. It's like if you were to try to jump from here to the Channel Islands, right? Some of you might get a little farther than the next person, but everyone is falling woefully short. The Bible is clear. There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins. There is no spiritual life in us because we've been cut off from a relationship with God because of our sin. We're all made in the image of God, and yet we rebel against our very Creator. As we look at the resurrection, we need to understand that a resurrection is only possible if there's a death, right? You can't resurrect someone who's not dead. We don't get Resurrection Sunday unless there's the death of Jesus on Good Friday. And why did Jesus die? He died for you. He died for me. He died because he loves us. He wants to be with us, and he wants us to be with him. And the only way for you and I to be brought back into right relationship with God was for Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. And we talked about that last week. Jesus became a curse for us so that we might be blessed by God. He was forsaken so that we might be accepted. He lived the life we should have lived. He died the death we should have died. And he absorbed the full weight of the punishment that we deserve on the cross. And this causes him to cry out on the cross, "It is finished." Everything that was needed for you and I to be made right with God, Jesus accomplished in himself. And this is humbling. This is a hard pill for us to swallow. We like to be self-sufficient. We like to be self-righteous. We like to depend upon our own good works. But the cross stands in the way as a barrier. It says, no, you don't have it together. You can't be good enough. You can't save yourself. You need a savior. You need help. More help than you realize. What the resurrection tells us is that Jesus is greater than death itself. The very thing that many of us fear, Jesus conquered ultimately and completely. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Jesus went to the grave, but the grave could not hold him. Perhaps this year has reminded you of your frailty, right? You start seeing, you know, death seems afar off and we don't like to think about it, but with COVID happening and certain health issues that have come up in our lives, we begin to see, wow, this fear of death is rising inside of me. I need to protect myself. I need to protect my family at all costs. But what the resurrection tells us is that Jesus is greater than death itself. He conquered death. No matter how you might be feeling this morning, you have every reason to be hopeful because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Just let that sink in for a moment. We are not worshiping a dead person this morning. We are worshiping a risen Christ. Okay, his life, his death, resurrection, ascension, his burial, all of that changes everything for us. We don't have these compartments as believers. It's not like I have my church life here and then I have my normal life here. No, Christ affects the way that we do life in general. And what the resurrection tells us, for those who are in Christ, death does not have the final word. You no longer have to fear death because Jesus faced death head on for you and I. And his resurrection means that we too will rise again from the dead. Listen to these words from Jesus in John chapter 11, verse 25. He says this, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." Listen to what Jesus is saying there. I am the resurrection and the life. If you believe in me, even though you die, you're going to live. So death for the believer is not the end. It's merely the beginning of your life with God. We need to hear the words that the angel spoke to these ladies in Matthew 28, verses 5 and 6. Listen to what the angel says. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay." Let these words build faith in you. Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. And that means that for those in Christ, we will rise with him as well. Man, no matter what happens in this life, our future is secure in him. You know what this year exposed in many of us? It really exposed us. It exposed where are we putting our hope? What is it that we put our hope in? When things begin to hit the fan, what is it that you run to? How do you react when things get scary? You know what that shows you? It shows you the reality of your faith. It shows you what your true hope is in. Is your hope in a vaccine? Is your hope in the healthcare system? Is your hope in things getting better? Is your hope in this life? Our hope must be in Christ. I'm not saying those things are bad. I'm just saying our ultimate hope must be in Christ. We're constantly clinging to things that give us a sense of control, that make us feel safe. And God is saying, put your faith and hope in me. I'll never let you down. Yeah, things might not turn out the way you think, but no matter what happens in this life, you have hope, a living hope, waiting for you in glory with Christ. And when we're squeezed like sponges, what we're made out of, it really begins to come out. And oftentimes we don't know what's inside of us. We don't know the level of our faith until we're squeezed, until we're put in the furnace and God exposes us for a reason. He says, hey, your faith is not in me. Your faith is in something else. But these things can never deliver what they promise to deliver. Only true safety, true hope is found in Christ. Listen to what Romans 1 verse 4 says of Jesus. It says that Jesus was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead. And so the claims of Jesus, all the things that he was claiming throughout his earthly ministry, his claim to be the Son of God, he backed it up by his resurrection from the dead. Notice with me in Matthew 28 verse 8. Notice how the ladies leave the tomb here in verse 8. The angel tells them to tell the disciples that Jesus has risen from the dead and that he's going to go before them to Galilee. And in verse 8 says, so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Notice, they went to the tomb. They were probably sad. They were probably depressed, but they left in fear and great joy. Whenever someone sees an angel in Scripture, there's always this response of fear. And the angel usually tells the person, do not fear. What a great sight that would be. You're just in awe, like, wow, there's an angel. Jesus is gone, but this angel is glorious and speaking to me. And you're trembling in fear. But you also have great joy because you're like, Jesus is risen. He's not here. You're in this kind of state of shock. And this is what happens as we respond to the gospel. We have fear and great joy. Notice what happens in verse 9. Jesus meets these ladies in verse 9, and they respond to him in verse 10. Right? It says in verse 9, and behold, Jesus met them and said, greetings. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. I love how Jesus meets these ladies here in verse 9. And this is very interesting, kind of as a side note, but it's interesting how the first witnesses at the tomb were these ladies. Because we know that might not sound, you know, might not be that special for us, but in this day, a woman's testimony would not even hold up in the court of law. That's just how it was in this day. And so for the Bible to say, hey, the first witnesses were ladies, if you were making up a resurrection story, this is not how you would do it. You'd say, no, the disciples were there. They were the first ones, the men, the apostles. But it's interesting. The Bible is wanting to record an accurate account of what happened, even if it doesn't help people believe. Even if people are like, wait, the lady saw them? Yes, the Bible is including details that might hurt the account, that might hurt people believing in this account rather than help it. Jesus greets these ladies, and what do? They take hold of his feet and they worship him. Listen, when you truly encounter the risen Christ, you are permanently changed. Some of you are maybe, you think that you know Christ. You have a knowledge of Christ in your head, but there's no love for Christ in your heart. Like church for you and the Bible for you is like a chore. It's something that you have to do. It's something that you feel like, I just need to do this to be a good person. There's no desire there. Listen, when you encounter the risen Christ, you're permanently changed. How do they respond? They respond in worship. Wow. This is what God does in our lives. I grew up in church. I grew up hearing about these things. multiple times a week, hearing the gospel over and over and over again, hearing the Bible over and over and over again, reading the Bible. And yet what happened? It fell on deaf ears. Of course I learned things. Of course I got knowledge. But the heart was unaffected. And for those of you listening who you're like, you know what? I know about Jesus. I know about God. I know about the Bible, but I don't love Jesus. I don't want to spend time with him. My encouragement for you is to get to know him. Is to truly cry out to Jesus, say, Jesus, I want to know you. I'm not there, but please work in my heart so that I would desire to be with you, that I would see how great your love is for me. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the devil. He's the only one who says, I'm going to pay the price that you deserve. I'm going to die for you. I'm going to take your spot so that you might be in right standing with God. There is this veil over us as a people. There's a cloud over us as a people. And every time you read a headline, you know, your heart sinks. This person got shot. This person killed 4 people. When you see these headlines, your heart sinks. This person got beat up. And it just causes our hearts to ache. There's something wrong with the world. And it's not getting fixed anytime soon. That's how we feel. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 25, verse 7 through 9 says. It says this about God. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. Verse 8, he will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Hear that this morning. There is this veil, this covering that's covering all nations, all people on earth. It's this expectancy of death, that death is real, that it's inescapable, that it will come for us one day. But notice what it says in verse 8, that God will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. This is something that God will do one day ultimately. But he offers us this through the gospel, through his death and resurrection. Easter is meant not to just be a once a year thing we come to, one of our 2 times that we go to church. Easter is meant to move us to a place of response, a place of worship. The call from Jesus is to repent and believe the gospel, to become born again. It's not enough merely to hear about an Easter message. That's not enough. We need to respond to it by saying, God, I want to honor your sacrifice. I'm going to call out to you. I'm going to admit I'm a sinner. I'm going to confess my sins to you. I'm going to believe that you died on the cross and that you rose again. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Have you called out to Jesus to save you? This is your day. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Don't put this off. I'll do this next year. I'll do this in 10 years. I'll have my fun, and then I'll come to Jesus. No, do it now. There is fullness of joy in the presence of God. You will live your best life living for the Lord. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. Doesn't mean you're going to have everything you want, but you're going to have Jesus. And when you have Jesus in your life, you're going to have all you need. And God is good. God wants to love on you. He wants to bless you with his presence. I pray that we'd open up our hearts and let the King of Glory come in. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we thank you for this account of your resurrection, of all that you went through so that we might be made right with you. We confess that we take this for granted many times, Though we're distracted by so many things in this life, there's so many things that we want to see and we want to have happen in our lives. And it's not a bad thing, Lord, for us to want those things, but we want to understand that you're the ultimate thing. You are the answer, Lord, to the problems that we see in the world. Your gospel, people being changed, radically changed by your love. Push back the evil. Help us, God. The people that we've hurt this week, the grudges that we carry, the thoughts that we think that aren't pleasing to you, help us, Father. Cleanse us, wash us, purify us. Thank you that your blood cleanses us from all sin. Through your resurrection, we have hope in you. No matter how many days left on this earth we have, we know that our future is secure in you. And I pray for those who are fearing death, who live in constant dread of death. I pray you bring freedom. Of course, we want to be wise. We want to be smart. We want to be good stewards. But I pray that you'd free us up to just say, you know what? I'm in Jesus and I'm with Jesus and I know I'm going to be with him. And so I pray that you comfort us with your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.